SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, yearling buyers, consigners, breeders, and those of you that following Keeneland sale. Day two, yesterday, a pretty fascinating afternoon and evening. We'll talk to Brian DiDonato from TDN. Thoroughbred Daily News. Talk to Brian after the first break and get into some of the stories from day one. And, you know, we hit the theme and some of the highlights of what was anticipated for the sale yesterday with Nicole Russo. And there were some real surprises, and that included really on both ends in terms of the big prices, five seven-figure sellers, topped by one of the best historic storylines in the sales arena. Godolphin versus Kumar. Nothing gets a sales event more hype than the lads versus Sheikh Mo. And Sheikh Mo is in attendance, and that provides a bit of a spurs to the flank to any sales event. Godolphin, more or less in one session, equaling what they did last year. I think last year they bought eight for $8 million. Yesterday, seven for just under $7 million. So, with three more book one sessions today, tomorrow, and Thursday lined up, who knows where it goes? But Sheikh Mo fell in love with the American Pharoah colt out of Kindle. And this was a pretty magical pinhook, weanling to yearling pinhook by Peter O'Callaghan. And we'll have Brian tell some of the story behind it. This is what really makes it fun, is the derring do when it comes to, you know, picking out whether it's, you know, the relatively new phenomena of weanling to yearling pinhooking. I can first remember discussing it with Lenny Kane Oakford maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, give or take. And I remember being kind of intrigued by this new pinhook development at the time. And now it's a standard practice, but it's also, you know, as fraught with peril as pinhooking yearling to two-year-olds. You know, granted, when you pinhook a weanling, you don't really have to do much. You put it out in the field, and you keep track of it, and you feed it and water it, and you look after it. But it's different when you take a yearling and they're going to train it up to a two-year-old sale. You know, there's obviously more risk, but as I kind of hinted, it was not a day that was perfect by any means as a day one, first day of a sale. You know, a lot of times people feel their way and don't necessarily spend wildly. There's three more days of book one, and there's then the weekend at book two, and you know there'll be bargains, and so people, you know, people shop a little, kind of wade into the action, and as a result, there were some. I guess there's risk and reward being up front in a catalog like this, and of course we can't even compare the receipts from yesterday. And really, the first couple of days, there's really no point because of the way the structure of the sale changed. So you'll have to wait really probably until all of book one is done. And even I know that Bob Elliston suggested waiting until book two over the weekend is complete to get a feel from last year versus this year. The RNA was high, was 35, seemingly pretty high, was 35, but I guess that is not out of line with last year either, in terms of book one and the first elite session and then the next three sessions. It pretty much was in line with that, the high or the low 30s. And the thing that was striking was that some of those high profile hips that we discussed with Nicole yesterday, some of the big hips to watch, including potentially the most notable, the Leslie's Lady Medagliadoro colt that barely got a bid. 60,000. And Fred Mitchell, if you saw the quotes from Clarkland, was, I think, stunned. And he did say that he's quoted as saying, yes, he's still an immature colt, but he's seen him change in the last 30 days, and he certainly wasn't going to give him away with that pedigree, too valuable. So he did say it was shocking that we didn't have more action. And Mitchell was also a little seemingly distressed or surprised that the Tonalist filly, out of Hot Stones, he thought would fetch about 200, was bought for 110,000, and David and Gordo buying for West Point 110. There was also that Galileo filly we talked about with Nicole yesterday, a buyback at 625. There was also the Tappet out of Just Whistle Dixie, and the expectation that was going to be a big hit, 775 a buyback. So, you know, that was the Mohaman brother. And then how about the American Pharoah filly that was the sister of Songbird, sold for $325. Phoenix Thoroughbreds, who remain very active. A lot of the names that we've been talking about recently, regularly. Larry Best, and this is a fun story. And I think Brian may have written it in the TDN. He and Jessica Martini and company, the Larry Best story during the heavy rains over the weekend, he was stuck in the barn. He was stuck in the Summerfield consignment, and it's actually, there's another name you heard all during the Saratoga sale, the Van Langen donks, and the Curlin colt out of Molly Morgan. And Molly, remember Molly Morgan upsetting, what was that, the La Troyenne for Dale Romans? The Molly Morgan colt 1.8 million, Larry Best, he was stuck in the barn for an hour during the heavy rain. And he said he watched the he watched the colt be shown five times. He said, I just fell in love with him. I thought that was a fun story. 1.8 million worth. And Larry Best and his advisor, John Dowd, they must have dug their heels in. I didn't see that. That was later in the sale, HIP 211. And there was a lot of prolonged bidding wars, including the Godolphin versus Coolmore American Pharoah session topper. That was an extended bidding. That one I did enjoy, and then I sent out the picture. I mean, it's unbelievable. This colt, if you didn't see the tweet, the picture, the confirmation picture, oh my God, he looks like a 2 year old now. He could pass for a 3 year old. Big, scary looking. I mean, just imposing. And O'Callaghan and really everybody, Jimmy Bell quoted and saying how, you know, Sheikh Mo, both O'Callaghan and Jimmy Bell said they saw the look in Sheikh Mo's eye when they brought this cult out. I got a kick out of that. They said, oh boy, they knew right away that he was going to be roped in. Some of the other stories, the Miss Macy Sue filly we discussed, Don Alberto, and basically this feels like a replacement for, to some degree, of Unique Bella. And the Tappet filly, 1.4 million. Godolphin, again, later in the sale. I mean, they were all over the place for big numbers. They bought the Medaglia d'Oro colt, supporting their own, the one out of Moulin de Mougin, 1.3 million. Then there was Coolmore. They bought the California Chrome Brother by Tappet, 1.1 million. On and on. So many familiar names that were very active. Sheikh Hamdam was not to be outdone by his brother. He bought a Tappet filly and a Tappet colt. $800,000 each. So he got a match set. There was also Bob Edwards, fresh off of his Owner of the Year title from Tova. Mike Ryan signing for Bob Edwards. And Bob has obviously gotten into a nice relationship with Barbara Banky and the Stone Street team, because he bought the Curlin colt, HIP 81, the one out of Kauai Katie. $825,000. Starlight, very active with SF Bloodstock, the Starlight West faction. That was the pioneer of the Nile colt out of Innie Minnie, $950,000. And Frank Brothers for Starlight bought a handful. One of the collectible offerings in this sale, here's another Pioneer of the Nile, HIP 195. This is the colt that was out of Mining My Own, the dam of Mine That Bird and Doulahan, etc. Jack Oxley, 775. And clearly, Oxley and Cassie, I'm sure, thinking that this is a classic trail type colt, given that pedigree. There was a lot of international buying. I'm anxious to hear from Brian next on that front. See what he had to say, including Godolphin Japan. Godolphin Japan, with at least two purchases. John Gosden on hand for the team and discussed. They're not sure some of these purchases are going to go to be campaigned in Europe. So between Mr. Yamamoto and Godolphin Japan, and I'm sure some others that are less, you know, less obvious. As I like to say with Sid, more evidence that the trope that the international racing community is not interested in our bloodstock is a fat lie. A complete falsehood. It's some great stories already. Day one of 27 days of buying. No, it's just 13 sessions. 13 sessions, I think? Yeah. Really fun. We'll talk with Brian D. Donato next. Good to check Brian. Brian's a versatile member of the TDN staff. He can handicap. He can go toe-to-toe with the handicapping side of things, and does bloodstock, does features, can do it all. He's going to join us next. Pat Cummings at the top of hour two. Some of the racing ideas, the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation conversation, the breakage white paper to be discussed, and a lot more. Stay with us. Back after this with Brian.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Daytime Southern California Thoroughbred racing action continues in beautiful Orange County through Sunday, September 23rd, with the LA County Fair Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse with a new first post time. The exciting daytime racing action will now start at 2 p.m. Pacific every Thursday through Sunday. The meet is highlighted by three $100,000 stakes races, the Barrett's Juvenile, Barrett's Debutante, and the brand new Los Alamitos Special at 1¼ miles. And we've also added a second Pick 5 wager featuring the final five races on the card. Plus, horse players, don't forget that Los Alamitos will host a pair of live money daytime handicapping contests on Saturday, September 15th, and then again on Saturday, September 22nd. You could win a seat to the 2019 NHC in Las Vegas. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider through September 23rd. For more, go to losalamitos.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Talking away. I don't know what's left to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is not my day. It's about you shying away. I'll become a real life.
Take me on. I'll be
Cooper back at the races. We got a real big fish to talk about the sale. Brian DiDonato from the Thoroughbred Daily News. And Brian, I was lauding your go-to versatility, because you can do the handicapping challenges during the boutique meets, and you do a great job when it comes to picking winners. And then you pitch in with Jessica and Christine and on the bloodstock trade, and pretty much anything that they throw at you, you can handle. Good morning.
Hey, Steve. How are you? Thanks for that.
Not at all. This was a really interesting start to the sale, and I noted the way in which day one was written up in the trades. Some people were unenthusiastic, and Eric Mitchell chose to talk about the four hips that were disappointing. You know, others said it's a solid start. You know, 5-7-figure sellers. It was a little bit of everything. But at the front of the train, a Godolphin Coolmore throwdown. What's better than that?
Oh yeah. It wasn't quite the Green Monkey, but it was close. It was very interesting to see. I've been covering sales for maybe 7 or 8 years now, and that was the first time I've ever seen Sheikh Mohammed in person. So definitely exciting.
Flesh out what transpired there, and I noted before the break that Peter O'Callaghan and Jimmy Bell, they both seemed to know what was coming, because they said Sheikh Mo's eyes lit up when he got a look at that American Pharaoh colt.
Yeah, so they hooked up on an American Pharaoh colt, ended up at $2.2 million. It was really like a long bidding war, kind of back and forth. Maybe 7 or 8 minutes in there, just kind of going back and forth. You know, it was interesting because Coolmore was in the actual pavilion. Usually they're kind of in the back ring, but I think Sheikh Mohammed had gotten over there first, so they were in a different spot. And, you know, beautiful chestnut colt, was already a $400,000 weanling, so he was a nice foal and obviously blossomed into a really nice yearling.
That part of it, and I did mention that some of the weanling to yearling pinhook attempts were at least for day one were a little soft, and that's one of those stories that will follow. Certainly, this was a home run, and you buy for $400 and sell for $2.2 million. That's a big win. And the Nothaft team, which is very big in Pennsylvania and does a great job with their regional program, and then of course has mares in Kentucky as well. That's the source here. That's the root of this, the breeding side of it. This will be an interesting horse to follow. And I did note in your coverage, and I wasn't sure if it was you or Jess that wrote the section, that this follows a Godolphin theme, that they're quite willing to patronize the Coolmore Stallion Group.
Yeah, that's kind of been a new thing you've seen the last few years. I think they bought at least one really expensive Scat Daddy last year. There was maybe like an unofficial rule for a while. At least they seem to be sort of steering away from Coolmore Stallions, but I think that era is definitely done. And, you know, I mean, when you see it, it can't be a bad thing to buy into an American Pharaoh. Some of those, you know, Coolmore has a lot of top stallions. You kind of have to give them a look.
Well, American Pharaoh off to as remarkable a start as a stallion can, and they still have to get on the racetrack and be successful to reinforce these kinds of numbers. But, I mean, after day one here, and then yesterday I think there was a total of 12, the numbers are, you know, really encouraging, I mean, in terms of driving a sale.
Absolutely. I think they averaged 528,000 yesterday. I think his average was even higher coming into the sale. He had some really good sales in Saratoga. So it's really not like anything you would normally see with just a completely unproven stallion, but obviously he's gotten the mare and he certainly has the credentials to be a top stallion. So, you know, you definitely would expect them to be runners.
Well, and I thought that it was notable what O'Callaghan had to say about the presence of this colt, and the confirmation photograph. I retweeted it after he went through the ring. He is a stunning and imposing looking young horse. I mean, for you look at him, and if you didn't know, you wouldn't take him for a yearling. I mean, he looks like an older horse.
Yeah, and I thought he said a couple of cool things. He said, in the field, he's always the leader of the pack, and he said, even if you didn't know anything about horses and you saw him, you'd kind of know he
yes.
was something special, which was interesting.
Well, there were a lot of special performers through the ring, and I thought it was also kind of a fun story that Larry Best, who's not afraid to spend and who's getting results on the racetrack with the early returns from his purchases going back the last couple of years, the Curlin colt that fetched $1.8 million, this was late. This was in the last fifth of the session. Hip 211, and he got stuck in the Summerfield barn during the rainstorm, and the Van Langendonks managed to reel in Larry, $1.8 million for the Curlin colt out of Molly Morgan.
Yeah, and he's, you know, when somebody kind of just bursts on the scene like that and just starts spending crazy money, you never know if it's going to work out for them. I've definitely seen people who have tried similar, and it hasn't really panned out. But he's done very well. He's obviously got a really nice crop of two-year-olds, and, you know, another nice colt here now.
The Van Langendonks, they've had a pretty magical summer and now into the fall, given their association with the American Pharoah that Mrs. Nielsen bred, that was a big hit at Saratoga. And, you know, it's amazing how often, Brian, there's some lightning, not just in one bottle, but it seems like when different bloodstock entities get hot, the successes come in bunches. It's kind of funny that way.
Oh yeah, I mean, look at Glenwood. They've had an amazing year between Justify, and they've got some top horses over in Europe. Yeah, definitely seems like that.
Well, and you think about in recent years too. Mac Merhall had that. You know, that intense period of scores, and Clear Sky, another example, and Carrie Brogdon, Carrie Frommer with the hits on her pin hooks. It's funny. I just you see these in bunches. Hit on some other of the most compelling stories. The California Chrome sibling.
Yeah, I mean, it was the top of the market. It was really kind of the usual suspects. I'd say maybe there was maybe one surprise at the top. Mike Ball signed his New River Equine. He owns Limousine Liberal. He bought one for $900,000 at Tappet Philly. You know, otherwise it was kind of the same old, just the same major players. SF and Starling were both in on Justifier, teaming up, and they're going to send some kind of classic colts to Baffert. They bought a couple expensive ones. E5 bought another Curlin bred by Stone Street at a Quiet Katie for $825, which I thought was interesting. Obviously, you know, they had good magic. But I think they paid maybe $1 million for it here a couple years ago. And I would say today's session, you know, the results were pretty good yesterday. Today's session is intimidating almost when you look at the book. Just so many good pedigrees. So I think today you'd think would be stronger.
We'll talk about some hips in a minute. And you mentioned Mike Ball. We talked, as it happens, with Ben Colebrook yesterday about his win in the Lassie at Saturday at Arlington. And the success and actually the fun that the Balls, KK and Mike and everybody, when they're together at the racetrack, when Limousine Liberal runs, it's a bit of a party. And they seem to really embody, you know, what a horseman and a trainer owner relationship, you know, when it when it really works and when it the way it's supposed to. And Ben was he didn't tip his hand that they were going to spend $900,000, but the tap at Philly out of lucky number, the second biggest fetch of the session. And you know, since we're on the Phillies for a second, Miss Macy Sue with another big score, $1.4 million, the tap at Philly that was the most expensive young lady in the session. And that was the Don Alberto purchase, as you get the sense that, you know, they're going to try to you know, come back with another unique Bella. And what was notable here is Dennis Albaugh and his operation and racing, breeding, buying, selling.
Yeah, and I think Miss Macy Sue is maybe his first horse ever, and she's obviously been very good to them. They tend to focus on kind of classic colts, so they generally sell the fillies. And they went and bought three horses for pretty good money. Bought one before and then two right after, so you know, they were putting the proceeds to good use almost immediately. And the Don Alberto people, as soon as they came out after signing the ticket, you know, they kept talking about Unique Bella. They definitely had Unique Bella on their mind when they bought that one.
And she will look to add to, or you know, help establish the broodmare band, expand on the broodmare band. Any other names that you followed? Any you want to riff on? You know, something of a disappointment when it came to, you know, a couple of the ones that I mentioned. You know, certainly the Songbird filly, the Songbird sibling, kind of felt undersold at 325, and then there were the big buybacks, including the Leslie's Lady colt. What was the explanation there? 60,000, I mean, basically wasn't bid on, and it had a stallion pedigree. What's going on in the repository or physically? I saw the quotes from Fred Mitchell, and he seemed completely mystified by that result.
I mean, I know he had said, I think we had a story with him before the sale, and he had said, you know, he was a great mover, but he wasn't the greatest looking colt compared to some of the other horses out of that mare. I mean, that's the thing, like on paper, it might be one thing, you'll see some huge pedigree and you'll assume it's going to be a $2 million horse. But I mean, the vetting really definitely comes into play. And, you know, when people are shopping at the really top end, they want everything. They want the perfect pedigree, the perfect physical, you know, perfect vet records. And some of those horses are just going to fall through the cracks. I mean, Phoenix Thoroughbreds, who certainly has the capability of spending at the top end, purchased that American Thoroughbred hat to Songbird. And that might turn out to be the buy of the sale. We talked about Unique Bella, who had a huge pedigree, and she only brought $400,000. You know, I mean, sometimes those end up being the best buys, the ones that kind of slip through the cracks but have the topper potential on paper.
Give us, other than American Pharoah, give us your view of expectations from what you saw going into the sale and the first crop storyline, because there's so many. It's been floated that this is as good a group of first crop stallions as anybody can remember. Who do you expect to take root? It didn't feel like, other than American Pharoah yesterday, that there was anything, you know, particularly strong. I didn't get a chance to go through all of them, you know, Honor Code certainly being watched, and you know, there's no shortage on that front. Liam's Map and the Commissioner, and you know, it's a heady array of first crop stallions to follow.
I would say Honor Code is probably the leader of the pack right now, just in terms of expectations. I think he had an okay day. He had one sell for $400, a couple for $375. And I think you'll see those stallions emerge a little bit more in kind of books two and three. There's a little more focus on the freshman sires then. You know, Liam's Map, I think he had an okay day as well. Let's see. You know, a couple for, he had one for $225. It's, you know, you don't really see the freshman dominate ever in book one like American Pharoah. I think he's kind of just a special case.
And I pulled up the honor codes, and yeah, honor code did have a nice day, and there were that's a heady group, nine of them that sold, and there were three outs and only one RNA, and that is a strong day for honor code.
Yeah, definitely.
And just looking at the buyers too, this is interesting. You had a real variety: Mike Ryan, Centennial, Calumet, Blue Water, China Horse Club, another Calumet, Don Adam, Cortland Farm, Linwood Stable, and Rosedown Racing. So you appealing to a wide array of buyers. That's usually a positive.
Absolutely. Definitely.
What else caught your eye? I saw Mr. Yamamoto took home the Havre de Grace colt early in the session, 550, and it's sometimes not to the benefit of the seller to be that early in a sale. That feels like that may end up being a bargain early on.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it might have affected the price a little, but I would think that if, you know, these guys, especially they push the sale back to 1 o'clock,
right?
And when they do that, everyone's kind of chomping at the bit to get going. So I think maybe it has less effect than it would have if the sale started at 11. But yeah, I mean, looked like a nice colt. I guess we'll see if it was a good buy or not. Certainly has a pedigree.
Well, going through all the results for the day, Ben Glass for the Wests, 350 for a quality road colt. I saw that D. Wayne, as well as Baker and Mac, bought themselves, I think, three or four combined. Cromwell Bloodstock, a quality road. Here's another quality road colt, 6 1/4. Anything to impart, Cromwell Bloodstock?
That's Gatewood Bell.
Okay.
Who's one of the top buyers
sure.
out there. Works with Wesley Ward a lot. I saw him and Wesley together. Honestly, they bought a Caraconti for decent money for a Caraconti. He's one of the questions. He's one I think is a little bit of a sleeper. But yeah, Gatewood's definitely one of the sharpest eyes out there. So, and you know, Quality Road couldn't be hotter. So that might end up being one of the best buys.
Yeah, just a couple other names. JJ Krupe, certainly consistent early on and throughout. Hartley Dorenzo, so there was no shortage of potential, you know, potential pin hooks to keep an eye on into next year for the 2-year-old in training sales. The Hills, Jim and Susan Hill, the Kites as well, and I mentioned Starlight, Starlight West buying with SF Bloodstock, and then of course Frankie Brothers handling the rest of the Starlight interests. A nice variety, a good start. Let's turn to today and some of the expectations and some of the hips you're watching.
So today's, I feel like I'm probably missing something that's probably huge, but there are a bunch of hip 443s that will take charge, have to justify. I guess we'll see how much being by, you know, a less established sire affects that one's price. But, you know, I mean, we'll take charge at a very good first year. You know, his yearlings have sold pretty well. His 2-year-old sold well. So that one's certainly one to watch. 327's a full to Gunrunner, full brother. May 17 full. I would assume that one, assuming he vets, I've seen him. He's very good looking. I would assume he'll be up there towards the top. The 389 is a Warfront, half to Nyquist, half sister. And there's a lot in that family otherwise, too, so that one I'm sure will be popular. There's an American Pharoah, half to Cupid, and who also half to last year's sale topper, who sold for $2.7 million. That's hip 306. And there's really, you know, it's probably as good of a session catalog as I can remember seeing, even at a sale like this, when the catalog is always impressive.
Now, and looking at siblings, yesterday we talked with Nicole Russo and focused a little bit looking ahead the Serena's cat colt, and a lot of big siblings. You mentioned the Justify You've also got early on today, right? In fact, right at the start, you've got the Oatsy colt as well, and you got the sister. Boy, here's one. Here's one that I imagine I didn't see Mrs. Weber buy anything yesterday, but I do see Hip 289, the Bernardini filly out of Pilfer. That's that's the sister of Donner and Serve.
Yep, and that's definitely one of the biggest pedigrees of the day.
Absolutely, the Cupid sister. Pretty and smart. Of course, the Gunra's at Nyquist sister.
Captain Lucho Macho Man. There's one out of Take Charge Brandy, who obviously was very, very well bred herself. There's a Distort Humor out of Plum Pretty. And there are a bunch of war fronts kind of with big European pedigrees and some really nicely bred Pioneer of the Nile. So, I mean, this. It's a really serious catalog today.
Well, and you know, one of the stories that I've been fascinated by, and I bring up every opportunity, Empire Maker 2.0, and very, very solid yesterday. There were four RNAs in the 140 to 300,000 range, but there was also the $700,000 filly out of Mama Kimbo. Mayberry Farm bought the All Boz, bought the colt out of More Chocolate, $650,000. There were two for $425,000, both fillies that went to Hugo Mary Bloodstock and PTK, and then JJ Krupe with two as well. The pair of colts, $300,000 and $150,000, and then today, when it comes to Empire Maker, there's the Eskimo Kisses brother, and I imagine that 406 certainly going to get some attention.
Definitely, and he's got a half to Zazz and Flashback, and then one has St. John's River. So he's definitely got some nice ones today too.
Well, day two, session two, and we're back to our 11 o'clock start now after yesterday.
I think it's 1 o'clock, actually, for the whole season.
1 o'clock again today?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought, all right. All right, because that's what you're expecting? All right.
I'm pretty sure.
I thought, okay, because they were supposed to start at 11 yesterday, so
right.
they're just giving everybody... the chance to catch up after the rain. All right,
exactly.
So good. All right, that's good for us too. We can we slap it on, and it's always fun to have it in the background. We'll be tracking, and we'll check in with TDN coverage. We'll get Jessica on this week as well. Get her input, and Brian and the team does a tremendous job, and the. You guys must be, it's like bees on a flower bush. You guys must run around all day long after each of the big knockdowns, and the TDN coverage just outstanding of this, not just this sale, but of all the bloodstock action. Brian, I appreciate it, and you're on call there the whole 2 weeks.
I'll cover book one, and then I'll probably do some shopping for after that. But yeah,
nice.
Three more days for me.
Well, speaking of shopping, talk about your group, the racing team that you put together.
Yeah, so it's Franklin Ave Equine. Started maybe like a year and a half ago. We're up to I think five runners now. We've got a nice quality road filly, New York bred, who we're going to debut hopefully Saturday at Belmont with Leah Giramati. So. Looking forward to that one. Have a couple nice two-year-olds with Jason Barkley down in Kentucky. So, you know, just getting started, but it's been exciting so far.
Very cool. Well, continued success, and saw that first. You had the first winner. You had the first winner. What, early in the winter, right?
Yeah, down at Gulfstream. Yep.
Nice. Well, Brian DiDonato, who everybody, if you're not following, you should be, and you follow Brian B. DiDonato, TDN. B-D-I-D-O-N-A-T-O, TDN. Brian, good to connect. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Brian DiDonato. Take a time out here, and we're going to check in with one of our favorite people, Bo Lane. Is going to give us some of that homespun sales coverage that that we love. We'll talk to Bo next, and I want to get his take on things and his impression. You'll get a valuable insight from Bo, and he has a great eye, and we'll see what he thinks of some of those first crop. Something tells me he'll be partial to the Carpe Diems that was raised on his farm. Bo Lane joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues in beautiful Orange County through Sunday, September 23rd with the LA County Fair Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse with a new first post time. The exciting daytime racing action will now start at 2 p.m. Pacific every Thursday through Sunday. The meet is highlighted by three $100,000 stakes races, the Barrett's Juvenile, Barrett's Debutante, and the brand new Los Alamitos Special at 1 1/4 miles. And we've also added a second pick five wager featuring the final five races on the card. Plus, horse players, don't forget that Los Alamitos will host a pair of live money daytime handicapping contests on Saturday, September 15th, and then again on Saturday, September 22nd. You could win a seat to the 2019 NHC in Las Vegas. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider through September 23rd. For more, go to losalamitos.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes to the top of the hour. And if you want to lift up your prospects at a sale, you could have your babies foaled and raised and cared for and prepared for sales like Keeneland by Bo Lane and his Woodline Farm and a long list of successes. And one of the big names that came through under Bo's watchful eye. Carpe Diem, whose yearlings are being offered here throughout the Keeneland September sale. It is always a pleasure to welcome Bo Lane. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Bo, I need your input about this sale and about what you're seeing as the series of first crop offerings, Carpe Diem among them, and American Pharoah and Honor Code we've been talking about, Leem's Map, Tonalist, oh my God, Commissioner and Constitution. I mean, there's an impressive group of first crops. Who are you impressed with?
Well, you know, you can't discount American Pharoah. Boy, he is tearing them up. And some beautiful, beautiful young horses. I'm really impressed with them, and I think they're going to be very successful. They're going to be runners. I don't like to go out on a limb like that because you don't know until they put the body on the rail, but they sure look like they can do it.
What, when you look, when you see a young horse from the weanling, you know, once they start to really take shape and into, you know, this time of year, what is it that, you know, that the most astute buyers are seeing, and how do you know, or how do you anticipate?
Well, you know, you're looking for balance. You're looking for a good mind and a really good move, an easy way of going, something that everything kind of fits, and I think that some horses just seem to have more of that and more foals like that than others. You know, I know that they got to have a mind too, and that's something that the Carpe Diems have always impressed me with, and I've got six of them at home, and they're all the same way. They just they just take it a day at a time, and they don't get excited and get silly. And I think that they're going to be nice horses. I really like that horse now, and I'm partial to him because we raised him, but I think he's got a good shot.
What? When you pull a baby out of the stall and you want to watch them walk and stand, what puts you off a
horse?
Well,
you can almost tell the ones that are exceptional very shortly after they're born. They just look different. They just stand different. They just have a presence about them. And a lot of times, I know when Carpe Diem was born, he was up before the mare was, and he was just standing there like a statue. And it's just, when you see that, you say, uh-oh, here we go.
I love it. Of course, you know, one of the challenges at the early stages of the sale, the horses keep rotating through the barns and they'll move out and you know, the next set moves in. So, you know, you don't necessarily see, you know, all of them, but, you know, you have all of the first crops, but who do you think might surprise in terms of somebody that might be, you know, a little bit under the radar?
You know, at this point in time, I'm going to say the big surprise might be Fed Fizz.
Hmm.
Now, I'm really way out here on the limb on that because very few of them have raced, but I've seen some of them that were very, very good athletes, and I think being from the family of Tail of the Cat, you know, they were not early two-year-olds. I think it takes them a little longer. You know, one of them ran last week out at Los Alamitos and just blew them away. And I'm not going to be surprised. I think, you know, a guy could slip in there and pick up one of them and might be really happy with him. I'm just, like I say, I'm way out on the limb there, but I just got a feeling that he's going to be okay.
That's interesting. And of course, the first crop, he's looking for his first stake winner. But you mentioned that Strictly Biz the other day for Samantha Siegel, and that was an impressive. There's also Doug O'Neill's got. I think it's Doug O'Neill's got that filly that Bizwax that placed on that was, you know, that's interesting too because she's a turfer, so it's interesting that maybe, you know, maybe some versatility from him, get a long short turf dirt.
I think that could sure be the case. I was hoping they would bring back Take Charge Indy. You know, he was a horse that was a reasonable priced horse and seemed to have a lot of athletic ability and they came on and ran good, but you know, went to Korea somewhere, and I heard they were thinking about bringing him back, and but maybe he was going to New York, so but good for them, because I think he's a horse that could add something. They're on, you know, these are lower priced horses. You know, when you get up into something like Into Mischief, you know you're buying the real thing. You know, these horses are proven and they all run. So
when
you got me out there on the limb this morning.
Well, that's why we reach out for a Bow Lane. Absolutely. What? How many are you running these days? How many are out?
I've had four in training this year, and I've got a couple of them back to farm. I had one that we looking at Lucky that we were pretty high on, and I had it with Joe Sharp, and Joe stopped by the barn yesterday, and he said, "Oh yeah, Bo, you know, we got a little saucer fracture. We're going to have to live with you for a while." And she was supposed to run Thursday, so you know, you get right up to it, and it's not over till it's over, as Yogi Berra used to say. Yeah, it's a great game, and there's nothing makes me feel any better than winning a race, and I intend to be racing horses until they put me under the ground. But I always try to save one or two from the crop to run and have some fun with. And I'll say this, you know, I've had a couple hard times, like in 08 when I was selling $15,000 the hair stud fees for $3,000, and the thing that got us through that year were racehorses. So sometimes they come through, and sometimes they come through at the right time.
Mr. Lane, this is Casey in the control room. Looks like we lost power where Steve is, so I'm going to send it to a break, and I'm going to thank you for checking in with us, sir.
You betcha.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.